And in the wake of the pandemic, Michigan's economy has shown remarkable resilience, rebounding from the sharp downturn that affected countless lives. And despite this overall recovery, many Michiganders age 50 and older continue to experience financial stress. According to recent findings from the Michigan Poll on Healthy Aging, a significant number of individuals in their 50s and early 60s, particularly those in fair or poor physical or mental health, report having cut back on spending over the past year, including expenditures on health-related costs. Joining us on the JR Morning Live line to explore these trends and their implications is Scott Roberts, Chair and Professor of Health Behavior and Health Education at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Scott, welcome to JR Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So kind of elaborate, if you could, on how this financial stress impacts both the physical and the mental health of older adults.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think in our poll, we found that people were experiencing financial strain in a variety of ways. And so as you mentioned, I think in your opening, it's forcing them to cut back on some everyday expenses that they had maybe previously engaged in. And so sometimes it was even to the point where they were delaying healthcare visits or not pursuing the kind of healthcare that we would hope they would do that helps maintain their health. Also, I think sometimes financial strain leads to physical and emotional stress itself. We found that over 50% of our sample were reporting some kind of emotional stress related to their personal financial situation. So I think there's a range of ways in which financial situations can impact older adults' health. And it was interesting that we found this was more pronounced in the 50 to 64 age bracket as opposed to the 65 and above. We were expecting that it perhaps might be more prominent among that 65 and older group, but it was actually that 50 to 64 group that was reporting the higher levels of financial strain across a range of questions that we asked.
Scott, what was your overarching sample? So did you focus on 50 and older, or was that just the offshoot of your finding?
Yeah, so the sample was 50 all the way to 101. So, it had to be at least age 50 to be eligible for the survey. But then we kind of sliced our data at that, 65 point because, 65 is where people become eligible for Medicare. And so, a lot of the literature looks at findings by these different age groups cut at that point.
And you triangulated out, you said, one particular age group. And you thought that it would be older, but it turned out that it was really closer to the 50 mark. Did you qualify that information at all? So you had the quantification information, but did you qualify why it is that age group specifically?
No, we didn't have a lot of questions that were able to drill in greater detail as to understand the reasons behind that. I think that would take some additional research, but just what we know from the broader literature, I think, people in their 50s, you might be more likely than people 65 and above to be, still dealing with expenses related to maybe their mortgage or putting kids through college, or they might be in this, what we call the sandwich generation, where they're maybe caring both for people in their household and aging parents. So there's a variety of ways you might imagine why people in that particular age group might feel stress from different
that makes sense.
Different sources.
Well, by knowing this information, how can our audience use this to help themselves?
Yeah, well, in our report, we suggested some resources that might be useful, particularly for those who maybe are on kind of the lower levels of income. There's a great website called newmibridges.michigan.gov that really collects a lot of potential resources that might be useful for people, whether it's around healthcare, childcare, food assistance. In some of our other research, we found that older adults are not often aware of all the services that are out there that might be beneficial for them, whether they're state programs or federal programs. We also feel like healthcare providers might be able to do more in inquiring about some of these issues. There's been a move in, I think, medicine and social work to think more about what we call these social determinants of health and maybe do some screening for these issues so that we can then connect people to services that might be useful for them.
Scott, how do the financial pressures faced by, you know, older Michiganders compare to those in by older people in other states? What's the comparison?
Yeah, so we found that, you know, a lot of our key questions, the Michigan sample, were more likely to endorse some of this financial strain. It wasn't huge differences, mm-hmm. but kind of across the board, it seemed like the Michigan sample was a few percentage points higher in terms of being more likely to endorse items like inflation impacted me a great deal, or I've cut back on everyday expenses. And one that was particularly notable, we had one question that asked whether people rarely or never have money left over at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And we found that in the national sample, about 25% were endorsing that item. But our Michigan sample, it was 35%.
Wow.
So that seemed a notable difference to us.
You know, the poll also highlights that caregivers, especially those in their 50s and 60s, experience significant financial stress as well. Talk about some specific challenges that this group faces.
Yeah, so I think caregiving is, you can pose a lot of challenges, both financial, physical health, mental health. I do a lot of work in Alzheimer's disease, which, as you probably know, has become, you know, a much more common condition. We now have 7 million Americans with Alzheimer's, and that they're often cared for in the home by loved ones. And so given the challenges of that and other types of dementia that we see in older adults, it can really create, you know, a stressful situation. And there's usually, you know, no handbook for these family members. They're often trying to figure things out mm-hmm. on their own and trying to make sense of their loved ones, you know, physical health situation. So, and it's, of course, not just dementia, but I just use that as a common example.
Yeah, especially with elder care. When we talk about caregiving, the elder care piece, when you're that age, 50 mm-hmm. to 64, and you have aging parents who are, you know, starting to fall ill or have their own challenges, then I think that's a big deal. Lloyd, you were reading my mind because yeah. I'm always concerned about elders and
oh,
how we, and there are very few handbooks that really teach you how to do that. You know what I do wonder is for our younger audience members, are there things that, and I don't know if you can answer this, it might be an unfair question, I apologize if it is, but are there things that younger listeners can be doing to check in with their parents who are of that age, 50 to 64, their questions, because these are parents who may not be saying, hey, I'm in trouble,
that's
or
right.
I'm cutting back on this, or I'm not taking this medicine, or I'm not buying this food. So are you able to give any advice at all, just based on basic research, on what, you know, our younger listeners can do to check in with their parents to allow them to continue with their dignity?
Yeah, I think just kind of opening up the dialogue around some of these issues is a great first step, because I think a lot of times older adults, you know, they don't want to be a burden to their family members. And some of these conditions, you know, might be embarrassing to talk about or have stigma associated with them. So I think what we've been trying to do in some of our efforts, I work with our Alzheimer's Disease Center at the University of Michigan. We've been trying to do a lot of public education and just kind of trying to normalize these broader discussions around some of these conditions that are common in later life, so that it doesn't seem so closeted and that, you know, people have to whisper about it, that becomes more commonplace that we kind of discuss these challenges and try to promote this proactive mindset of planning for the future. You know, just because we're having, you know, discussions, you know, doesn't mean something may need to happen right away, but kind of maybe they can appeal to their parents about this, the importance of kind of being planful, so that you don't have to react in a crisis, that you're kind of being more thoughtful ahead of time, so that if an incident does arise, then resources will be in place. So I know that's kind of a general answer, but hopefully that helps.
No, it was good. Planful. I love that word. I'm adding it.
All right. Scott Roberts, Chair and Professor of Health Behavior and Health Education at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Scott, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks for your insights. Very intriguing poll here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it. And you can check out our results at healthyagingpoll.org.
All right, we will do that. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.